Tonight, two major breaking headlines bracing for a dangerous night ahead. Potential tornadoes across multiple states. The system then moving into the east. Also tonight, the verdict just in for the leader of the Oath Keepers, guilty of seditious conspiracy. Stuart Rose and another member found guilty of seditious conspiracy in the January 6th attack on the Capitol. For the first time, a jury finding a conspiracy led to the mob attack on the Capitol. The Oath Keepers had been accused of discussing possible civil war following the 2020 election, the plan to keep Donald Trump in power, the stash of weapons found in a hotel room just outside Washington. Pierre Thomas with the breaking news. Also at this hour, the tornado watch in effect for multiple states, severe storms expected tonight, and where they're now bracing for potential long-track tornadoes on the ground for a long time. And this system then moves right into the east. Alerts in more than two dozen states for heavy snow and high winds. Rob Marciano timing this out. The race tonight to avert a crippling rail strike in this country just before Christmas. And of course, the potential impact on the economy as a whole. President Biden with top leaders from both parties at the White House. Can Congress force the workers to accept the deal reached several weeks back? Mary Bruce tonight. The major new clues this evening in the murders of two teenage girls in Delphi, Indiana. For the first time, what an unsealed court document now reveals. The new images coming in, the world's largest volcano in Hawaii tonight, the lava shooting 200 feet into the air. Residents now being told to be prepared for the worst. Mola Lenghi and our team there. Team USA wins the showdown between the U.S. and Iran. And news tonight on the star player for the U.S. who scored that winning goal, now in the hospital, Will Reeve at the World Cup. Actor Will Smith in the interview tonight, what he now reveals about that slap at the Oscars. And America Strong tonight, a team we've been reporting on for months here, and what they've now done tonight. Believe me, you'll be celebrating too.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us here on a Tuesday night. And we begin tonight with two breaking headlines, the potential for a dangerous night ahead, possible long-track tornadoes across several states. Then this all moves east. But we do start with the verdict just in tonight. The leader of the Oath Keepers found guilty of seditious conspiracy leading to the mob attack on January 6th. Stuart Rhodes, the founder of the far-right militia group, along with one of his followers, found guilty of plotting to use force to keep Donald Trump in power. A victory for the Justice Department tonight, and the first time a jury has found the Capitol violence was in fact the product of an organized conspiracy. Prosecutors alleging the plot started after the 2020 election and ended with the mob attack on the Capitol. Seditious conspiracy carries a possible maximum penalty of 20 years in prison. Our Chief Justice Correspondent, Pierre Thomas, leading us off tonight.
Tonight, a D.C. jury convicting top leaders of the Oath Keepers militia of seditious conspiracy for plotting to stop Joe Biden from becoming president. Stuart Rhodes, the leader of the Oath Keepers, and one of his key lieutenants, Kelly Meigs, are now facing up to decades in prison for their roles in the January 6th insurrection. Meigs, along with other members of the group, can be seen marching in lockstep in tactical gear, heading up the steps toward the Capitol. Prosecutors pointing to Rhodes in a video from November 2020, predicting what would happen.
We have men already stationed outside D.C. as a nuclear option. In case they attempt to remove the president illegally, we will step in and stop.
This is the first time a jury has decided that the January 6th violence was a product of organized conspiracy. Jury apparently buying the prosecutor's claim that the Oath Keepers were prepared to use force, that these guns, including assault weapons stored in a Virginia hotel, were to be used to wage war if President Trump had given the word. Rhodes, Meigs, and three other defendants were also found guilty of obstructing an official proceeding, specifically Congress's certification of Joe Biden as president on January 6th. Critical evidence in the case appears to be text messages from Rhodes and other members of the group. Rhodes writing, "We aren't getting through this without a civil war." In another, he wrote, "It will be a bloody and desperate fight. We're going to have a fight. That can't be avoided." Rhodes and a number of the Oath Keepers had testified in their trial, suggesting not to take their incendiary language seriously, that they were not planning to commit violence. The jury clearly didn't buy it, convicting Rhodes and Meigs of seditious conspiracy, a charge rarely brought and prosecuted. Among the last prominent cases was one involving the blind Sheikh Omar Abdel Rahman, accused of plotting to wage an urban terror war against the United States.
Of course, that was some time ago. This verdict coming in late today. And Pierre, we know the leader of the Oath Keepers, members of the Oath Keepers, not the only group charged.
David, we have another major trial involving seditious conspiracy coming up with the Proud Boys, who prosecutors say sparked the violence by first knocking down those barriers on January 6th. Seditious conspiracy is the most serious charge the government has brought, and tonight prosecutors are very happy. They hope this sends the message that anyone who actively plots to overthrow the government will pay a price, David.
Pierre Thomas leading us off here tonight. Pierre, thank you. We are also following at this hour the severe weather threat as we're on the air tonight, the potential for these long-track tornadoes on the ground for a long time, the potential across several states, in fact, and then, of course, the system then all moving into the east. At this hour, more than two dozen states on alert for heavy snow, high, potentially dangerous winds. Images as the storm moves across the country. These pictures from Utah already slammed with heavy snow from this. Then the snow emergency declared in Minneapolis. Multiple accidents, dangerous driving on the roads there. Blinding rain in the south today, Interstate 55 right here in Mississippi. This is right near the Tennessee border. And of course, the real concern, the potential tornadoes as we head into the nighttime hours. Let's get right back to senior meteorologist Rob Marciano. Back with us tonight, this time live from Jackson, Mississippi. Hey, Rob.
Hi, David. We got a late start to this severe weather outbreak, but now things are ramping up, and we've got a lot of potential energy to work through tonight, so we're just getting going. They've expanded the tornado watch. Take a look. It now goes into Alabama and all those tornado warnings. There's several of them. That one near Hattiesburg, that's a tornado on the ground. And these things are being pushed along by a winter-like jet stream at 55 miles an hour. This, as night falls, very dangerous. Speaking of winter, we still have the snows going on in Minnesota and Wisconsin. Going to be a windy night across this low in Michigan and Indiana. The Northeast will get it, too. But let's time it out across the south here. I think the next 5 to 6 hours will be most dangerous in through Mississippi and Alabama, pushing into North Georgia by around midnight. Atlanta, you get it, too. These things do weaken somewhat tomorrow, but it'll still be dicey day as it pushes towards the Carolina coast. And look how quickly it gets into the Northeast. Wind and rain for a messy day and evening commute for New York, D.C., and Boston. But by far the most life-threatening weather is here in the South tonight.
David? We are thinking about millions across the South tonight. Please heed the warnings out there. And Rob, thank you. We're also monitoring the unfolding situation in Hawaii tonight. It continues. New images, in fact, coming into the world's largest active volcano on Hawaii's Big Island, Mauna Loa. At night, look at the images. Several streams of lava flowing right down the hillside, and reports tonight of lava shooting 200 feet into the air. And what authorities are now warning residents of the island. ABC's Mola Lenghi is there for us.
Tonight, scientists reporting fountains of lava, some rising as high as 200 feet at times on Mauna Loa, as two new lava flows opened up on the mountainside. Gas, ash, and molten rock have been pouring from the world's largest active volcano since it erupted for the first time in nearly 40 years. So far, the lava streams pose no immediate threat to communities, but health officials are warning about the impact of VOG, or volcanic smog, on air quality. People with respiratory problems told to take precautions and limit their exposure.
If you are experiencing any discomfort, go indoors, close the windows.
And with residents of Hawaii's Big Island already on edge, a 4.0 earthquake rattled even more nerves early this morning, but did no damage. Mauna Loa is now part of a rare dual eruption event joining Kilauea just a few miles away, which has been erupting for a year. Tonight, emergency officials on edge, watching for what Mauna Loa may do next.
Although the flows currently aren't threatening lives or property, Mauna Loa eruptions can be very dynamic.
Residents in areas at potential risk have been urged to review their emergency plans and be ready to evacuate if they have to.
Well, officials say air quality could deteriorate for as long as this eruption lasts, and there's currently no telling how long that could be. The other potential concern is where the lava will flow. It's currently crawling at a rate of less than 1 mile per hour. But as you can see from this charred lava field I'm currently standing in, several miles away from the volcano, previous eruptions have made it out this far, but it's something that could take days, if not weeks, based on the current conditions, David.
Yeah, first time in 38 years we've seen this from this volcano as well. Mola, thank you. Now to the race tonight to avert a crippling rail strike in this country just before Christmas, and of course the concern over the potential impact on the economy as a whole. President Biden today inviting leaders from both parties to the White House. And tonight the question, can Congress force the workers to accept the deal reached several weeks back? Here's our senior White House correspondent, Mary Bruce, now.
With a potentially catastrophic shutdown of the nation's railroads just days away, President Biden tonight is urging Congress to step in and prevent a strike.
Congress, I think, has to act to prevent it. It's not an easy call, but I think we have to do it. The economy's at risk.
The president telling me he's optimistic. Under the Commerce Clause, the Constitution grants Congress the authority to intervene and prevent a strike because the railways are so crucial to the national economy. Congressional leaders are now planning to bring up legislation to impose a tentative deal reached earlier this year between the rail companies and labor unions.
Tomorrow morning, we will have a bill on the floor. I don't like going against the ability of unions to strike, but weighing the equities, we must avoid a strike. Jobs will be lost.
It's a politically dangerous move for the president, who prides himself on being a staunch defender of unions and one he had hoped to avoid. In September, Biden helped negotiate a deal, but several unions walked away, insisting their scheduling concerns were not addressed. Republican leader Kevin McCarthy.
The president told us all that this was solved long before the election. And now we find ourselves in the last moments, in the last hours, asking us to rush a bill to the floor. Nobody wants the economy to fail.
But even as he took aim at the president, McCarthy tonight supporting congressional action. A shutdown would have a devastating impact on the economy, roiling supply chains and creating shortages, driving up the cost of everything from gas to groceries, freezing almost 30% of U.S. cargo shipments. According to one estimate, consumers and businesses could lose up to $2 billion a day. A strike would also wreak havoc for the nearly 7 million commuters and travelers that rely on the rails.
Now, tonight, one of the unions that was holding out hope for a better deal says it is deeply disappointed by and disagrees with the president's decision to ask Congress to intervene, warning that moving forward without more paid sick time will, quote, worsen supply chain issues and further sicken, infuriate, and disenfranchise rail workers. David.
Yeah, this is a rare move. We're going to be watching this in the days ahead. In the meantime, Mary, while we have the other developing story in Washington at this hour, a former President Trump now reacting just moments ago to Republican leaders who today, a week after Trump had dinner at Mar-a-Lago with both Kanye West and with a known white supremacist, Republican leaders just now addressing it on camera. And Mary, I know you pressed the House Republican leader Kevin McCarthy on this as well. The Republican leader in the Senate, Mitch McConnell, also pressed, and I wanted to show folks at home what they said. Let's listen.
Mr. McCarthy, is there a reason that you have yet to condemn the former president for having that dinner with the white supremacist?
I don't think anybody should be spending any time with Nick Fuentes. He has no place in this Republican Party.
Anyone meeting with people advocating that point of view, in my judgment, are highly unlikely to ever be elected president of the United States.
Anyone meeting, having dinner with a white supremacist, that was really something to hear, Mary, from McConnell saying unlikely to be elected president.
Yeah, David, it is pretty clear that the Republican leader does not think that Donald Trump should be president again. But he notably did not call him out by name, and neither did Kevin McCarthy. He condemned white supremacy, but he did not condemn Donald Trump. The former president has just responded to Fox News, taking a shot at McConnell, saying he wouldn't have been reelected without Trump's endorsement. David.
2 years till the presidential election. Mary Bruce at the White House. Mary, thank you. And at the Capitol just moments ago, the Senate approving tonight a landmark new bill protecting same-sex marriage and interracial marriage in this country. 12 Republican senators joining all of the Democrats in voting yes. Applause in the chamber after the vote, the measure gaining support after the Supreme Court overturned Roe and concern that other rights could be under threat. The bill now goes back to the House. It could be on the president's desk to sign as early as next week. In the meantime, we turn next tonight to the major new clues in the case of two teenage girls found murdered on a trail in Delphi, Indiana. Tonight, what an unsealed court document now reveals in this case. Alex Perez again tonight.
Tonight, new details in the chilling murders of two teenagers in Delphi, Indiana. A judge unsealing a court document laying out the evidence used to arrest Richard Allen. Police say they executed a search warrant at Allen's home last month, seizing boots, knives, and firearms, including a .40-caliber pistol they say ties Allen to the crime scene. Investigators say they recovered a .40-caliber unspent round between the victims' bodies, and that a state lab determined had been cycled through Allen's gun. Another piece of critical evidence, that infamous video captured by 14-year-old Libby German on her cell phone. Police say Libby was rolling as Allen walked behind her and 13-year-old friend Abby Williams on that bridge. According to documents, one of the girls is heard mentioning a gun as the man approaches, then orders them down the hill in that haunting audio. Allen worked at the local CVS and lived just 2 miles from the crime scene. He was interviewed by police back in 2017 when he admitted being on the trail that day. Prosecutors say Allen may not have acted alone.
That if any other person had any involvement in these murders in any way, that person or persons will be held accountable.
And David, police have not said exactly how the girls died. Allen has pleaded not guilty and denies knowing or encountering the girls. David?
All right, Alex Perez tonight. Thank you, Alex. Overseas tonight and millions all over the world watching, including us, as Team USA beat Iran late today at the World Cup. Tonight, word coming in that the star player for Team USA who scored that winning goal was then taken to the hospital. Our Will Reeve at the World Cup tonight.
It was win or go home for the U.S. men's national team. And tonight, they delivered against Iran. But tonight, U.S. soccer says superstar Christian Pulisic, who was injured as he scored the game's only goal, has been taken to the hospital for scans on his abdomen. The young U.S. squad advancing to the World Cup round of 16, hoping to keep the attention on the pitch and away from the geopolitical drama after Iran demanded the U.S. be expelled from the tournament for posting the Iranian flag with the Islamic Republic emblem removed on its social media accounts. U.S. soccer saying the image was intended to show solidarity with the months-long human rights protests across Iran. The altered flag was later taken down. But Iranian journalists hitting back at Monday's news conference, at one point asking Captain Tyler Adams, who is African-American,
"Are you okay to be representing a country that has so much discrimination against black people?"
Adams responding, careful not to criticize Iran's crackdown on civil rights movements.
"In the U.S., we're continuing to make progress every single day. It's a process. I think as long as you see progress, that's the most important thing."
David, the U.S. will play the Netherlands on Saturday in the knockout stage. And just moments ago, Christian Pulisic sharing a message online saying, "I'll be ready Saturday. Don't worry." David?
We're going to need an American flag behind you, too, there, Will. Thanks. A great assignment, and looking forward to more victories and more reports from you along the way. Thanks, Will. When we come back tonight, the 911 call from that pilot, his plane dangling, trapped in those live power lines. How did he remain this calm? And you'll hear it. And actor Will Smith tonight, what he now reveals about that slap.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
To the index and actor Will Smith tonight on that slap at the Oscars. He appeared on The Daily Show taking responsibility after the slap, after the joke about his wife, but also saying the emotions have been building for some time.
But at the end of the day, I lost it, you know? And I guess what I would say, you just never know what somebody's going through.
Smith resigned from the Academy and was banned for 10 years. Finally tonight here, we have been reporting on this team for quite some time now. We always knew they were champions, and tonight, they really are. Tonight, they are the young high school football team we've been reporting on for more than a year now. In Riverside, California, the California School for the Deaf Riverside, the Cubs, proving yet again tonight, they are America strong. For the first time in their school's 69-year history, the varsity team winning state championships. The victory parade, the signs, we're number one. Undefeated 12-0, Division I in California's Southern Section, the players, the coaches, all deaf, winning against teams that could hear. Warming up, running drills, jumping, rotating, their practices are silent. Members of the team signing, "Hello, David." And it's what they signed. Eno Zornoza signing, "Deaf people can do anything. We're not this stereotype that's out there." Running back Philip Castaneda telling us, "We can't hear. That doesn't mean we can't play. We're here to play and we can." Wide receiver Jory Valencia saying, "We're showing the world we can play." And this was Jory at the winning game, the moment he helped carry the team to victory. Tonight, freshman player Gio Visco signing, "It doesn't make a difference what your disabilities are. We can still work with it." And their coach, Keith Adams, signing tonight, it gives them hope. It gives them positivity to know that they can achieve higher things. Tonight, we celebrate the Cubs, the state champions, America strong. It doesn't get any better than that. Go Cubs. I hope to see you right back here tomorrow. Good night.